We're on mitzvah Kuf Yud Ches, the 118th mitzvah, Shelo Lahakriv Korban Belo Melach, not to offer a sacrifice without salt. And it's interesting because the next mitzvah, which is the 119th mitzvah, is mitzvah's Melichas HaKorban, the mitzvah to put salt on the offering, the positive commandment associated with this, of course, in the original ordering of the Sefer HaChinuch actually comes first. Because in the original ordering, it has all the positive commandments for each parsha, then all the negative commandments. And it's interesting, though, then it references each other in weird ways in our order. So you'll see in a minute. Shelo lahashbis melach me'al hakorban o hamincha, not to put salt on the korban or on the animal sacrifice or the meal offering. Kilomar shelo yakrivu akohanim shum korban o shum mincha elim kein nesimu ban melach. Not the mitzvah is on the kohanim. Not to offer up any type of sacrifice whatsoever if it does not contain salt. Shneamar velo sashbis melach bris elokecha me'al minchasecha. Do not stop the salt of the covenant of your God from upon your offering. Uchsvichasuv gamkein al kol korbancha takriv melach. On every, which is the next mitzvah, which is on all your offerings, yes, you should put salt. Mishor sheha mitzvah, the reasoning for the mitzvah is as follows, kasafti lamala berosh ha-seder, I wrote in the beginning of the parsha, whereas of course we have not learned yet the reasoning for this mitzvah because we have not learned the mitzvah yet, which in our ordering is the next mitzvah. So we'll get to that in a minute, why exactly you have to put salt on the korbanos. Midine ha-mitzvah, d'alachos, amro zichronim levrocha, shemitzvah limloach ha-basar yofek, ke'en moleach basar litzli, shemolcho mishneit stadav. That to do this mitzvah in the proper fashion, at least when it comes to the animal sacrifices, you take each piece of meat in the way that it's put on the altar, and you put enough salt on it to make it the way that you would put it when you roast it. And when you roast meat, so you put a little bit of salt on it to make it tastier and to help the blood drain off. In our system of halacha, where we're thinking now more nowadays, when we think of salting meat, we think of making it ready to be cooked in a kosher fashion. But we know when you roast meat, by the way, then you don't have to salt it previously. It's only if you're cooking it in a liquid medium that you have to salt the meat. So a lot of people who are on salt-restricted diets, they'll specifically buy non-kosher meat for the butcher, and they'll roast it. They'll roast it on open fire instead of cooking it.
What is meant by roasting?
You have to cook it on an open fire. So you salt it on both sides. It's insufficient just to salt it on the on one side. You have to salt it on both sides. Interesting, when you salt meat to remove the blood before you cook it, it's also you're supposed to, I mean, you have to put a much larger quantity of salt than they're talking about here, but you also are supposed to do both sides. But there are many opinions that if you only salted it on one side, it's still permitted b'dieved. You're still allowed to eat it. Uvidieved, so what's the case by the korbanos b'dieved? Afilu molach kol shehu kasher, that even if you put the tiniest amount of salt, so b'dieved it's considered kosher. The Rambam says even gargir echad, even one grain of salt, tiny little grain of salt, it's sufficient b'dieved for this, to the extent that you don't violate this commandment. Umelach shemolchin bo akarbanos hu mishel tzibor, the salt that you use to salt the sacrifices is the public property that's bought from the contributions from the entire congregation of Israel. Kemo ha'itzim, just like the wood for the altar. Vein ha'yochen mevi melach ha'itzim la'karbano. So an individual cannot volunteer to sponsor the salt or the wood for the altar. The choze mehagdolas habayis. This is to make the Beis HaMikdash greater in our eyes. The mokom ashiras lekanius. That in a place of richness, there's no poverty. Ovishlosha mekomos ha'yonosnin ha'melach. They used to put salt on the korban l'chatchila three times. Belishkas ha-melech, there would be a specific room in the Beis HaMikdash that they would use for salting the korbanos. Ve'algabe ha-kevesh, and on the ramp of the altar, uveroshu shel mizbeach, and once the korban reached the top of the altar, they used to put on another application of salt. Belishkas ha-melech ha-yumolchin oros ha-kodshim, ve'algabe ha-kevesh ha-yumolchin ha-ivarim. In the special chamber of salt, they used to salt the skins, and the skins are always given to the Kohanim. And on the all ramp, they used to salt the actual body parts. I'm sorry, it's not three applications on one korban, of course. Well, not three applications on one korban, it's different korbanos had it in different places. So on the top of the altar, they used to salt the part of the meal offering that was put on the mizbeach, and the rest of the meal offering, it didn't need salt. It's only on the stuff that's actually offered on the altar.
The hides were softened with salt. It's done for personal, not sacrificial purposes.
So why is he bringing it over here?
They're granted permission to use the temple salt for hides.
Okay.
So they didn't have to buy their own salt for the hides.
Right, because it's part of the sort of service in the Beis HaMikdash that the Kohanim get the hides from the Korbanos, so therefore they're allowed to use the temple salt to do it.
Okay.
V'amenachos nisrafos v'olos of, and the all the minchas that don't have a kometz, or that don't have a pinched out of them, but rather are burnt the whole thing, and the burnt offerings of birds v'yaser protem v'arim perak shvim mizvachim, the seventh parak of Masechet Zvachim. Okay. Minoheges b'chubizman habayis b'zichrei kuna. This mitzvah is obviously really incumbent on the male kohanim ki lahem lahashlim sorchei akorban. He didn't even put the tiniest grain of salt on the korban. He neglected to perform a positive commandment. It was also the positive commandment that the Sefer HaKinach already introduced, although we haven't learned it yet. In the original Sefer, we would have learned it already. And you're going to see the penalty of lashes because you didn't put, it's a lo sase as well, a negative commandment. And of course, Sharei Maisa Yeshkan Kishil Makrav HaBasar HaTofel Shusar HaLav Shul HaKriva B'lo Melech. You might think it's a lav shein bo maisa, there's no action associated with it because you're just not putting salt. But no, the action is that you offer the korban without salt, and that itself is a maisa that is that earns you the lashes. Mitzvah kuf yotes, 119th mitzvah, mitzvah melichas a korban. This is the positive commandment to salt the sacrifice. Lakriv melach al kol korbanos. To offer salt on all the sacrifices. Kolomar shita and melach babad b'sara korban v'chein b'kemach hamanoches. Put salt on the flesh of the offering and then the meal offerings as well. Shenemar al kol korban chot agri melach. Offer salt on all your offerings. Kvar amayinu b'mitzvah binyan habayis. We already talked about in the mitzvah binyan beis hamikdash where we had a very lengthy excursion about all the reasoning possible for the korbanos. Ki mishor she mitzvah hakorban lahachshuli haishir nefesh hamakrivoso. That the point of the korban is to make the person who's bringing it a better person and to improve his soul. So in order to draw a person's attention more towards the korban, we have to offer and the korban things that make it tasty. So the person thinks, ooh, salt, we're putting down the korban, so it must be really important. I'm going to think about the korban more and let its impact internalize more in my head. As we said above. About the sword vash. Oh, no, that's not the sword vash. You're not supposed to put sword vash. It's a little bit, it's a contradiction between the mitzvah not to offer up honey and the mitzvah that you have to offer salt. It's a little bit, you might think, yeah, put tons of sugar in the in all the sacrifices, make it extra delicious. Whatever. This is the same reasoning. That even according to human understanding and the human ways of preparing meat, we shouldn't think that, oh, we're putting on the mizbeach something that's not so gishmak to the human palate. If you think it's something that's really delicious, you're going to say, I want to think about this korban. That if something doesn't have salt in it, it is not delicious to a human being. Not it's neither its taste nor its smell. Interesting. I don't know that salt really improved the smell of things so much, but apparently Zoysh stayed in Sefer HaChinuch. Another reason why you have to put salt is because salt has an amazing property that it preserves things. It protects things from being degraded. So if somebody acts properly towards his sacrifices, then he's going to be saved from personal destruction. And his soul is going to live on forever because the sacrifice atoned for him. So the salt preserves the korban, just like the korban preserves the soul of the person. It's interesting. The dine ha-mitzvah. They all get salted before they get up to the altar. The only things that are offered on the altar without any salt whatsoever are the libations of wine that accompanied the korbanos, and the blood that's sprinkled on the altar. You don't have to salt the blood before you put it on the altar, and the wood that is used to fuel the fire on the altar. There's no clear proof for this in the text of the Torah itself, but that's the tradition that we have. Yeah, because you could assume that alcohol korban chatagri melech, literally on every single thing that's put on the altar, you have to put salt. So maybe even you have to...
The blood doesn't go on the altar, it goes on the steps.
But still, okay, but it's part of the service of the korban. V'imavar v'hikri b'lo melech ha-korban kosher v'nirtza. That if the Kohen violated the commandment and did your offering without salt, then it's still atoned for you. The korban is still kosher, b'dyeved. So it's really the Kohen's fault. It's not your fault. If you brought the korban and the Kohen was remiss in his duties, then you still received all the atonement that this korban brings. Chutz min hamincha she'amelech ma'akva, except for a meal offering where the salt is absolutely necessary. Shenamar b'aperush v'lo sashbis melech bris elokecha me'al mincha secha. That it's the covenant of God that the salt is a part of the meal offering, so therefore the meal offering is not kosher without the salt, but an animal sacrifice is kosher without the salt. In the halachic medrash on Sefer Vayikra, and in certain places in Maseches Menachos, explains why the mincha is not kosher at all without salt. Is he chayev to pay for your new korban if he makes a mistake? That's a good question. In the times of the temple, in the males of the priesthood, you violated a positive commandment, you violated a negative commandment as well, as we just learned. Mitzvah Kufchaf, the 120th mitzvah, is a very strange mitzvah. I have to tell you, it's a little bit hard to understand how such a thing could really ever happen, such a major thing, but we'll see in a second what that is. Mitzvah's korban bezden im to behara, that the bezden has to bring a special korban if they made a mistake regarding how to pasken halacha. Sheakrivu sanhedri gedola korban im to v'horu shelo kahalacha ba'averus chamuros shechayavin alein kari. So let's say the Bezdin HaGodol, the high Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish court, which is the Iker of the Torah Shebaal Peh, that the whole oral Torah received tradition of how to interpret Jewish law goes through them. They're the ultimate arbiters of it. Let's say they make a mistake, but not just any mistake, they make a mistake and they issue an official decision about a mitzvah in the Torah about which the punishment is kares, a spiritual excision, which is the most severe heavenly punishment that's not executed by the human courts. And they tell you that something is permitted, whereas it is in fact forbidden with a penalty of kares. How such a thing could happen is very strange.
A misprint in the, you know.
It's not a misprint. No, you'll see in a second that they have to do it. They have to know what they're doing.
Oh.
It's not just a misprint.
They're liable.
So it has to be that every single Jew did this sin based on their
every
teaching.
Every single Jew?
Or most. Every single or most. Yeah,
That's like
rogue. They do it at the same time. Shenemar v'im kol adas Yisrael yishku v'nela davar me'enei hakohol. That if all the congregation of Israel sins and they did something that that something escaped their attention. I don't know if there's any indication as to whether it happened or not. I'm not sure. It's hard to imagine that it happened, but I haven't found any. Literature indicating that it, whether it actually happened or not, any documented cases or any statement like Ben Saramara that it never happened. Certainly not applicable nowadays. Kvar kasafti lamala, I already wrote above, ki mechuvanos hakorban, mikavanos hakorban lachnoas nefesh hamisavel hagdil nefesh hasichlis. That one of the ways that a korban works is, or the intentions of what a korban is supposed to do, is to make your soul more lowly and humble. That because this, and it's supposed to be, the soul meaning the stuff, your animalistic urges, your base urges, and to increase the intelligent soul. So you're supposed to put your intelligence above your emotional emotions. Balkain b'hagia el ha-gidolim toz v'dover, that if even the greatest people, the Jewish people, made a mistake about a certain thing, yadua ki b'chulshas ha-seichel, It was because their intelligence wasn't up to par. At a certain time, they had a lapse of judgment, and they have to bring a korban to strengthen themselves. So when they get to the Beis HaMikdash and bring their korban, this place of the Beis HaMikdash is conducive to being more humble, because you realize, oh wow, God, you know, this is amazing, this Beis HaMikdash, I have to really improve myself, and they're going to put more attention on their intelligence rather than on their base animalistic selves. And once this korban, they realize they have to bring a korban and it's going to have an effect, the desired effect on their method of thinking, then they're going to be extra, extra careful in the future when they issue halachic decisions not to make a mistake like this. Midinei ha-mitzvah. The halachos of the mitzvah are as follows. Oh, by the way, the Minchas Chinuch also brings here a suffix as to whether what happens if it's exactly half and half.
Person abstained?
No. Of half the Jewish people listened to them and half didn't.
Oh my God.
Midinei ha-mitzvah, kiyon ma-sh'amru zichronim levracha, that which Chazal said, sheyesh toz ba'aras bezdin she'evi bezdin sha'bezdin chayavim lavi korban velo alos al-piyam. So there is certain times where the bezdin has to be a korban, and certain times where the person who listens to them and perform and does the and sins based on their instructions. The yeshahosa chayev Elohim, and certain times where the person is chayev, and certain times where the bezdin is chayev. Ve'ilu min hatnoim hatzrichim bedaver shiu bezdin chayavim v'lo ha'osim al piyam. These are the conditions for the bezdin having to bring the korban and not the individual who sinned. Shiyu ha-morim shel shivim be'achad, has to be 71 people in the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Ve'yi ha-rosh ha-yeshiva imayim b'shah shehoru, the greatest Torah scholar, the head of the Sanhedrin, has to be with them at the time that they issued the decision. Ve'yu kulam ru'uyim lehora, and all the people in the Sanhedrin have to be appropriate to be seated in the Sanhedrin. It can't be that there was a... Yeah. Shenamar im me'enei ha'ida, that it's something that is that's slipped the attention of the whole congregation. Ad shi'u lahem la'inayim, it has to be people who are like eyes to the Jewish people, that they have to really have proper sights, proper intelligence. Kilomar ru'uyim lahora, they have to be, in other words, be able to answer halachic questions in any area of the Torah. Vita rubam bedavar zeh shaharubo, and most of the people made a mistake, the members of the base of the Sanhedrin HaGadol. V'yoru beperush, they have to say explicitly, shiyomer lahem mutarim atem lasos, you are permitted to do this, whereas in fact it's not true. If it's something that they infer from the words of the Beis Din HaGadol, then that doesn't count. It has to be something that said mamash explicitly.
Such as this shemen is mutter, when it's actually, you know, chalav or something.
Chalav, yeah. Right, exactly. V'yasu kol ha-kohol, exactly, yeah. V'yasu kol ha-kohol rubam al-piyam, and most of the congregation, or all of it, has to listen to them. V'yosin shogegim al-piyam, v'damin sh'adover shiru bezim kadasaru. It has to be people who didn't know better. In other words, if you are, you have real smicha also, and you're roi lahora, and you're a huge tamichacham, and you know they made a mistake, and you say to yourself, well, the Beis Din HaGadol said it, so I'm going to do it anyway, then you have to bring the korban, and not the Beis Din HaGadol. Yeah, you have to listen to the Beis Din HaGadol when they tell you that the halacha is a certain way. In other words, it's something that's open to interpretation or multiple opinions when they take a vote and they say that the halacha is a certain way. But it's something that's mamish, an explicit part of the Torah. If you're Magi, if you're Hagiyah Lahara, then I guess you don't listen to them.
How are they to realize, in fact, that
they realize later.
By thinking about it harder or something?
Yeah. I guess someone could call it to their attention, yeah, but they have to...
They're supposed to abide by it.
Yeah, but that's...
So how can it be wrong?
No, that's different, because that's a difference of opinion about a certain halacha. It's not saying that something that your chayav kares doesn't exist. That's mamish a mistake.
Is that not what they're saying? Maybe they're just saying...
No, they're saying, is this tanor, this case in the Gemara, is this type of oven susceptible to tumah or not? So the institution of tumah, they agree, exists. The institution of an oven theoretically not being... accepting Tumah exists. They're just arguing about this particular oven, whether it falls under this category or not. It's not something that's subject to being an absolute mistake or not. At the same level, because that's up to the courts, the human judicial system to decide. You'll see in a minute what we're talking about in these types of cases. So again, the person who does it has to think that the Beis Din issued a correct decision and act accordingly.
Wait a second, I thought the person is supposed to do what he thinks is right if he
has. No, if you're what we call higia lehora, that if you know how to answer halacha questions in all areas of the Torah, and you know for sure...
all areas.
That's in the olden days, that's what we call higia lehora. But in nowadays, relax their standards a little bit, it wouldn't have too many rabbis around. The question is, so if you know how to answer questions, halakha questions in Tumah and Tahara, and about the worship in the Beis HaMikdash and all these obscure halachos, then you're what we call in the olden days, Higia Lehora. So if you know for sure that they made a mistake, if you're on the level to be able to be entitled to opinion and know that they made a mistake, then you're not allowed to perform this thing that they said was permissible. They said, "Oh, they must be whatever they said it." So that's the halacha. The oji yoru levatal miktsas mitzvah l'kayim k'tzasa has to be a vaylolak or kol mitzvah achas shenemar v'nelam dovar velo kol guf zeo gzeres hakosu. So what does that mean? That means that their hara has to be that, yes, this mitzvah exists, but this is not part of the category of this mitzvah. So in other words, if they say, an example that the post can give, if they say there's no such thing as nida from the Torah, there's no such mitzvah in the Torah as nida, then that doesn't count. That's not a mistaken hara. That's levatel kol davar. That's levatel kol aguv. That's to uproot an entire mitzvah. So then that would not be a mistaken hara. So then it says, but what if they say that you are chai? They say, yes, there's in such institution as nida and zava, but there's no such thing as a shomeris yom keneged yom. I'm just quoting what I think this example that the Rambam gives, that yes, all these mitzvahs exist, but we know that on the Doraisa level, then the first, after a woman starts her period, so then it's seven, she's a nida for 7 days, and after that, there are 11 days that she could possibly become a zava, which is a higher level of tuma than nida. So if she sees blood in just for any one of those days of the 11, then she has to wait one clean day and then go to the mikvah, and then she's mutter. And if she sees blood for 3 days, that's when she has to wait the seven, the Shiva Nikiyam. That's at the rice level again. Nowadays, the practice is somewhat different. So what if they say, yes, the first 7 days of Nida, that is true. And they say, yes, if she sees blood for 3 days during the 11 days that follow the 7 days, then she has to keep Shiva Nikiyam. But there's no such thing as the Shomeris Yom Keneged Yom, which is called the Zava Ketana, also a little Zava as opposed to a Zava Gedola, which is if she sees for 3 days during 11. So if she sees for 1 day during the 11, then she doesn't have to keep a clean day, then she's and then she's good. So if they, that would be what we call, that would be the type of hara that would be subject to this halacha of the Beis Din having to bring the korban or not. Or let's say also, the Beis Din says there's no such thing as Shabbos. There's no such mitzvah as Shabbos, whatever. So that's the battle as kol guf hadavar. That's to get rid of an entire mitzvah. So then that would be, the Beis Din would not have to bring a korban based on this. It would be, in other words, if the person violated Shabbos based on that hara, quote-unquote hara, then the person would be liable to bring the chatos and not the Beis Din. And what if they say even, not only that, what if they say... there is such thing as Shabbos, but there's no such malacha of hutzah, of carrying on Shabbos, of transferring stuff from Mishus HaRavim to Mishus HaYachid, then that also is considered levatel as kol hadavar. That's considered to negate the entire Shabbos, because they got rid of an entire part of the halacha. So that would also not, the Beis Din would not be chayav. Well, what would be the case? So the Beis Din said, yes, there's Shabbos, and yes, there's such a malacha as hotzah of carrying in public or from a, in a public domain or from a private domain to a public domain, but let's say you only, it's not a problem to carry 4 cubits within the public domain, it's only a problem to carry from a private domain to a public domain or from a public domain to a private domain. So then if you carried 4 cubits in the public domain, then the Beis Din would be liable to the for the korban and not you. It's not, it's just part of the technical formulation of the halacha that if they tell you that there's that they completely get rid of a certain huge halacha, then you they're not liable for the korban. Has to be, that's not even considered a hara. That's considered just like what's going on over here.
Yeah, the Rambam apparently has a simple example. It says, but Nathan said it's entirely mutter to, you know, to bow down in front of Vodah Zarah, then they wouldn't be obligated to bring the korban. However, if they said, okay, you can kneel before it, but you can't actually go all the way down, then they would have to bring it, you know.
Right. The Rambam brings a few examples. Right, because the halachos also of Vodah Zarah are a little bit different. Sometimes. So, yeah, so I, right. But that example is also good.
Down in front of a Buddha.
The Afshar, maybe the Sefer Nehemiah says, so maybe the reasoning behind this point is that, again, this is a sort of a mini Shoresh HaMitzvah over here, so it's just the Shoresh of a part of the Mitzvah is. That if they make such a huge mistake, obviously, their mistake is going to come to light much more quickly than if they make a mistake about a certain detail of the halacha. So therefore, that's why the Torah didn't require them to bring the korbanot in this case. That when the court knows what's going on over here, they have to know exactly what when what happened, exactly what they made a mistake about. Even if they said, oh my gosh, we're reviewing our court documents. I'm pretty sure there's a mistake in something over here. So that doesn't count. They have to know exactly the specific thing about which they made a mistake. The people who made the who actually performed the sin based on their instructions, they informed them, oh, it was, by the way, I think it was about this that you made the mistake. They have to say, really? Oh, we told you that? Oh, really? Oh, maybe. Okay, like, I sorry. So that doesn't count. That's, they have to...
It doesn't sound so
bright. In other words, you could, in other words, yes, the other person could remind them, but they have to say, oh my gosh, you're right. We did make a mistake about that. They can't be wishy-washy about it. Shenemar v'noda hachatos kolomar lahem v'lo shiyodiyu macherim. That it can't be, they have to remember themselves. Again, the person could remind them, it can't be, they can't be relying on simply the other person's knowledge. Kol eila hatanoyim tzrichim liyoz v'dover shiyoskhaivu abezdin v'korban v'lo osim al piyem. So all these conditions have to be, there are very many conditions that have to be, if the Beis Din is going to be chayav to bring the korban and not the individual. The Amri, she's chayav, a Beis Din korban. Rotza lomar, she have you a korban sheaf to Yisrael kenegdam. So why, what is the shot in the korban? Kon shimover bahorios. They have to bring 12, by the way, the number of oxen they have to bring. Heifer is oxen. Whatever they have to bring is parim. Is 12 because it's a keneged, it's the same number as the tribes of Israel, so it's showing that the whole congregation made a mistake based on their error, yeah? We have to look that up, because in regular Beis Din proceedings, that's correct. In the case where the, let's say, in regular nowadays monetary Beis Din, let's say you have 3 judges, and they made a mistake, and 2 voted the mistaken way, and 1 person was actually correct. So in certain cases, so the Beis Din has to make restitution to the party that they unjustly required to pay. So in that those cases, that is true, that the person who voted correctly does not have to contribute towards that restitution, yeah. So if they made a mistake about Avodah Zarah, so they actually, those have to be contributed by the various tribes of Israel as well. So it was not just by the Beis Din. So if they, and if it's something else, then a different Avera, which for which the penalty is Karis, then they have to bring 12 bulls. Oh, of course. V'im chaser achas osal piem chayav. V'im chaser achas osal piem chayav chatos kivua. But if any of these conditions are not met by the instructions of the Beis Din, the person who does it has to bring a regular chatos. That's where the next mitzvah that we're going to learn about, the mitzvah of the individual chatos. Behin peturim shelchiyav haTorah Beis Din bekorban zeh like yashem b'shlim musam, that the Beis Din did not require the Beis Din, the Torah did not require the Beis Din to bring this korban unless they're all together, they did it properly. V'sheish b'zeh hora lechatos kol ha'am sheyishgu rasheihem behem b'shlim musam. That means that the whole point of the korban is to, for the whole, all the leaders to humble themselves when they're all together as one unit, yeah? The rest of the many details about when the individual is chayev and the Beis Din is pater. Ohem chayavim v'hu pater. They are liable and the sinner is exempt. V'achilok ha-korbanu shebeim, the different types of korban. K'umash ha'amez ha'chronim l'brocha, kol ha-mitzvos shebatorach ha-shechayavim al-zdon an-karitz lo-shigyosim chatos. Hayochen may be kisba o-si'ira. Any type of the Torah that where the punishment, if you do it on purpose, is kares, and if you make a mistake, then you have to bring a chatas. So the individual brings a female sheep or a female goat, the nasi seir, and if the nasi, the leader of the congregation, has to bring a chatas, he brings a male goat, the choin mashiach who bezden mevi'in par. And a Kohen Gadol, who actually is a full Kohen Gadol, who has Shemen HaMishcha, who was anointed with the oil of anointing, as opposed to just wearing all the proper garments of the Kohen Gadol, which is how they used to do it in later times, when they no longer had the oil of anointment. He has to bring a... and the Beis Din, of course, have to bring a bull or bulls. V'hu HaKohen HaGadol Shenimshach B'Shemen HaMishcha, that's the... Right, the Kohen Gadol has to be specifically who was anointed with the oil. Yes, sir, Patel, the rest of the details... Mevorim Maseches Horios u'Mekomos Mizvochim explained in the tractate Horios when the Beis Din make a mistake in their hara, and in certain places in Maseches Zvochim, where it talks about the execution of the korban itself. Benohegis b'zman habayis sheyesh lanu Sanhedrin gedola, that in the time of the temple is when the Sanhedrin hagadol was really in its full power in the lishkas hagazis, is met in the chamber of hewn stone in the temple. And even though the Sanhedrin met in other places afterwards, it didn't have its full authority, its full, all the halachos that are supposed to be associated with it, when it left the Lishkas HaGozis in the temple and met in other places.